in a cage of iron, in a circus out of Tijuana. Frazier was their big attraction, and he gave them satisfaction, doing it with talent and with honor. Growling for his daily dinner.
Hey, Take Two listeners, welcome to the Matt World. We are here to discuss Leftovers Season 3, Episode 5, and it sure was a Matt world. This was, you kind of get one of these episodes every season, am I right, guys? Just a total Matt episode, and everything that goes wrong can go wrong for this guy, and I love it. I think Christopher Eccleston's great, and I think he really gets showcased in these episodes, and I enjoy the hell out of it. What about you guys?
Perfectly cast. He plays the role very well.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. He brings such animation to the character, and I was especially tickled when we got to see a little of his humorous side, if you will, when we get back to that particular part of the episode. Mm-hmm. Where we got to hear one of his, you know, crazy jokes. I would have never thought you'd have heard that from Matt.
Oh, yeah.
But that was great.
Yeah.
So that part of his personality that came out. You know, so all these different sides that you got to see in this particular episode, I thought were really, really well.
Yeah, again, we're continuing the theme of the season where we're getting these standalone episodes of Matt, Nora, Kevin. They're each getting the spotlight, and I'm really enjoying it. So let's kick it off. They started off again with a very odd opening. I almost couldn't even hear what was happening. I don't know about you guys, but I had a hard time even hearing the opening. I didn't know if there was a song being played or not. I kind of heard a little bit of a choir singing, but then just like whispering in French. I didn't really make anything out.
Same.
So again, very odd opening.
Yeah, I was the same. I thought someone was talking. I couldn't really tell that there was a song, which at this point I'd become disappointed on, because they've been giving us these fun different songs each week.
Well, I will come back around to it in a minute, and I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Okay.
But let me explain. We'll explain. We'll explain the first scene first, and then we'll come back and tell you what the French whispering was all about.
So this is a scene that you, Tony, rewound and rewatched like 6-7 times?
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, who doesn't love a good slow-motion ball, you know, floating in the air? I mean, so anyways, what Brian's referencing is the episode opens, and we hear some sonar, we're underwater, we see a safe opening, there's kind of different things going on. Somebody grabs a key out of a safe, and we hear French music being played on an iPad, or iPod, rather, and this is kind of keying into where the opening's whispering in French comes in. And we see this dude just completely stripped down naked from his Marine Nationale uniform. And I don't know if you caught this, I forgot to mention this, Brian, earlier, that the name on the uniform said Lion, his last name was Lion.
Oh, really? I did not.
Thought was kind of a cute little nod to what goes on later in the episode.
So this is a HBO HBO teaser. Sorry, I'm picturing something in my mind, thinking tweezers.
Picturing him running down the hallway.
Yeah,
in slow motion.
Yeah, sure. It started, I think, with True Blood that they used to do, where you would open it up and before the show would start, it would say, you know, rated TV mature for language, violence, nudity, strong sexual content. So I don't know about you guys, but whenever I see the little N for nudity, it's like, oh, okay, it piques my interest. But HBO gets you every now and then, because then they open it up with that full frontal male nudity. Thanks, HBO.
So then we see this naked guy with key start, when he busts some other dude over the head, takes his key, and he's just running down the hall naked, as we said, on his way to the vault with these keys, and pulls off quite the maneuver, the acrobatic key turn with his foot and his hand at the same time.
I mean, that's some high-level yoga move right there.
Yeah, it was impressive.
I mean,
yeah.
He was able to stretch it out and really be able to work those toes and those fingers. I mean,
yeah, that's all just to get the button to push the nuclear weapon launch is what we end up finding is what it is, and that's what happened last week where we had the explosion was teased to us, but we didn't know what it was. So, and we see him pushing the button, and you see him praying, but you don't hear anything. So that comes back around to the beginning, the song. Somebody out there, thankfully, translated the French for me, so I'm going to give you guys a little bit of what was said in that opening song.
Okay.
I'm the only hope, the last defense of the species about to go extinct. The warlocks warned us. These clairvoyant sages saw the truth. They said the creatures would come 7 years after the first ones were taken. 7 years after the departure, we were blind to the gods. We are now on the edge of the ravine, on the edge of destruction. When this monster is born, we are done for. This monster will be born to end us. Seven heads and seven flaming mouths. We have one last hope, the egg. From the warlock maps, I found it, hidden in a nest in a volcano in the sea. Thank God for technology, the nuclear weapon, to break the fragile shell and melt the demons inside. God, may this missile fly straight and find the nest in the volcano. Hopefully this egg won't have hatched, and let it destroy it before it destroys the world.
That's the longest prayer. That's the longest prayer I've ever heard. Whatever happened to, like, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. What?
Yeah. That was what, apparently, that guy was saying in the beginning of the show.
Who translated that? Well, geez.
Some loser on Reddit that had a lot of time.
Roy was about to say me until you said...
Oh, sorry, that was me. I'm working on my French.
All right.
But pretty interesting, right? And,
yes.
And apparently there's also a passage in Revelations that talks about, like, a sea monster thing or whatever also. So, I don't know if this is just like, hey, this is just one crazy dude, and this is his way of seeing the end of the world, kind of like the guy freaking out in the airport. Like, we're really not supposed to read more into this. Or is this where they're going? Are we going to see some, like, Godzilla-type stuff popping out of the water in the last episode?
I hope not.
But... It would be interesting because it would definitely be a subtle nod to something like this, because I'm not sure every viewer is going to be going back and trying to figure out the translation.
No, and throughout but that's the what we're episode. Here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're welcome, listeners.
Exactly. We do the hard legwork, and you guys just have to sit back and listen.
And by we mean Tony.
Yeah. So, but anyways, we see what happens with the missile launch. The TV news is showing that it hit an island, an uninhabited island in the South Pacific. So this crazy guy, thinks that he succeeded in his mission of stopping this beast from being born or whatever. But really, that the overarching reason for the whole story is that it's inconveniencing Matt and Kevin, because Kevin is trying to get back. Matt wants him back and can't get him back, so he says, you know what, I'm going to get a plane to go down there and get him. So we see Matt go to visit his good buddy Arturo, and he basically bribes him with a casserole and 20 grand to say, fly me to Australia, buddy.
I wonder what the casserole was. I wonder what was in the casserole.
Yeah, I'm hoping not tuna. I don't know. I mean, I guess at least he led with that.
He didn't get to eat it.
20 grand.
Unless he took it on the plane.
I think I would have just led with a 20 grand. I mean, yeah. You really care about a casserole? Because you're leaving anyway. You don't even get to enjoy the casserole.
Yeah,
his mom's on her deathbed also.
She's not
enjoying
it.
She's not enjoying the casserole.
Maybe they brought it on the flight, like the in-flight meal?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Arturo had
that?
It in the cockpit.
Yeah, he might have had it, because the other arrangements that the other passengers had weren't the best. I mean, you're flying from Texas to Australia in those conditions. I think I might have a creek in the back.
Yes.
So that's the ruse, is to try and get them there under the guise of a foreign aid plane, and hopefully they'll be able to get to Australia, get Kevin, and bring him home. And we see Matt has been trying to reach him on voicemail. It's not happening. He talks about the nuclear incident, whatever. So
because Matt's hellbent on Kevin must be in Miracle for the seven-year itch. What are they calling it? The rapture?
Whatever you want to call it. It sounds like different people are calling it different things, depending on where you're at.
So. Got it. All right.
The seven monsters coming from the sea and the egg, whatever. I also like this part when Matt referenced the three wise men, when Arturo asks, you know, who's coming? Well, the three wise men, you know, so yeah. Matthew, Michael, and John, which I never really thought about it, that that was like the biblical names of the three of them. I don't know why. It didn't dawn on me till this episode. But then they meet on the tarmac, and Lori's there trying to horn her way in. And
so will we meet a Luke?
Maybe. Who knows?
Or is Lori
will somebody be his father?
Is Lori the Luke? We're crossing over so many genres.
I did think it was interesting, though, when they're on the tarmac and they're kind of arguing, you know, can Lori come, not, whatever. And Laurie brought up the point of, you know, have you tried to reach Nora? And he's like, Nora? Why? Like, but Nora's your sister. Like, shouldn't that be your route you go to try and, you know, get a hold of him? I don't know. And then Laurie says that she's not answering either. So maybe we'll get back around to Nora down the road here, too. Also, Laurie had some good comical moments in this episode where what Matt's referencing, you know, that he's the Messiah or whatever, and she's like, he has a misspelled tattoo, he can't find the wine glasses, he shits four times a day. I don't think he's the second coming, you know.
Right.
I guess that, and then, but then you see Matt get a smile on his face when they have turbulence right after she says that.
Yeah.
You know? So. And then we also get the first reference of Matt with his nosebleeds on the plane. And I guess Michael sees him and he's like, what's going on there? And he's like, oh, my allergy pills. I need my allergy pills. But obviously something else is going on there, which we had kind of talked about before in the episode where he's sitting there with the blanket on and all that stuff when he's getting the phone call. You're like, what's going on with him? So maybe this explains that his cancer basically has come back around is what he thinks, and that he's dying. So
agreed.
So anyways, they land in Tasmania, and of course now they need to take a boat ride over. It's an 11-hour ferry ride. Really, that seems like a really long ferry ride.
Extremely.
Yeah, and of course it's sold out again. Whatever can go wrong goes wrong. Mm. So
of course
they need to basically bribe their way on with this private group.
Yeah, I was just saying, not just sold out, but bought out by a party.
And the private group is the best too.
Yeah,
of all the groups that could do it, this is the group that they get to go with.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So they're approaching this group, and you see a lion go rolling by in a cage. That's your first, you know, indication that this is going to be a crazy group of people. And the woman in charge asks him, 91 and having a son? And he's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I have no clue. Am I supposed to respond to that? You know, it's like secret code. And she's like, are you a member of our pride? And these people are just crazy, self-indulgent, sex maniac, you know, cult or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to find out later on what they're based out of. But this is where she tells him there's going to be lots of sex in this boat. If you're going to come on here, you have to do it without judgment. And to qualify yourself, you need to tell me the filthiest joke that you know. So who wants to tell it?
Well, Laurie stepped up.
Yeah.
But
yeah, what did she say? Panda goes into, and she's like, no, not you.
Yeah. When they made Matt tell it, go ahead. I can't. I'm Catholic. I can't tell it.
You can't tell the joke, Roy? You don't want to tell the joke?
I believe it was something, what's the difference between a priest and a pimple?
Yes.
And then he follows with a punchline, a pimple waits till you're 12 before coming on your face.
Yes. Fantastic joke.
I think it'd be better at like 14. I think 12 is too early. It should be like 14.
Speak for yourself, buddy. I love the joke, and it qualified them to get on the ship. Yeah. So
yeah, and it was definitely that moment from Matt where I was shocked hearing the joke come from him, and then I was just like, oh my god, that is amazing that this came from him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that would definitely qualify as the dirtiest joke I've ever heard.
But now I kind of want to hear what Laurie had to say. Like, is hers worse?
Any listeners, if you know what Laurie was going to say, please fill us in. A dirty joke involving a panda.
Yeah, send us your filthiest jokes at take2podcast@gmail.com. I'd love to read them.
Now our email feed will blow up.
Yeah, I'd love to read those.
Exactly.
So anyway, so the lead member of the pride there tells the rules and what she says. The lady has free reign. When midnight comes, if any man mentions his name, he must become him or whatever. And they're talking about Fraser the Lion. She shows her shirt, Fraser the Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a little research on that and found out that Fraser the Lion, the story, is true. What Laurie talks about it a little bit later, and she says it was a lion in the 70s in California that was kind of old and put out to pasture, and he ended up impregnating all these lionesses in like one night, like 35 of them or whatever. So it became this big thing, and I just thought they made it up for the show, but it's actually a true story. They covered it in like Time magazine, and then they actually made a theatrical movie about Fraser the Sensuous Lion was the name of the movie, if you want to look it up. So
I wonder what the Rotten Tomato score on that is.
It's fairly low, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I probably pull somewhere up around a trailer. King Arthur. Might be better than that. I don't know. It's got sensuous in the title. So.
That's true.
All right. So, anyways, and that's when we first hear the song about Fraser the Lion, also, which opened our show. The wonderful Sarah Vaughan singing about Fraser the Lion. So, yeah, we made a movie about the guy. We made songs about this lion. So, mm-hmm. He's the real deal, apparently.
When he's here, he's on this boat. Or his his descendant is, at least.
His descendant is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyways, then we get on the boat with these people. The different group is talking while the other people are. I love these scenes where you see our people talking, and there's just random like sex acts going on and on the side.
Totally unfazed. They're just having a combo.
Yeah, if I'm Michael, I'm looking.
Yeah, at the very least.
He's still fairly young. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like parts of the book. It was everywhere. Like everywhere that camera panned, there was somebody doing something. So yeah, I can't imagine the characters were remote interested in some of this act. I mean, even if you've seen it before, it's still like, come on.
Yeah, because right when we get on the boat, we've got John and Matt are kind of going back and forth, if you remember, and John's telling him, you got to accept it. We're going to be here. We're not going to be back in Miracle. Just accept what happens, you know, and I think he references, no, like, Miracle, that's where my wife got better. I had the baby. And then John's like, well, yeah, my wife left me and my daughter died, so it's not that good for me, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like, what about your wife leaving you? And he's like, well, that's a test, and I have to, you know, I have to succeed at the test. And that's when he gets another nosebleed. You see him walk off. As we see him walk off, there's two dudes just like jerking each other off very vigorously in lion manes, which I thought was hilarious. I was like, did I just really see that? Like, and how did nobody else flinch at that? Like we said, they just walk right by him. No big deal. So then he's in the bathroom, and there's a random dude in the bathroom. He's like, God hit you. He's like, what? What are you talking about? God hit you. Yahweh. You know? And he's like, what? Are you saying that God hit me? Like, he was all confused. And he's like, no, the dude on the top deck with the red hat and the beard, you know, he likes to talk about the Olympics. Is that the guy that hit you? Never. We see Matt go search this guy out, and he gives him the card, and he doesn't say anything. And it just says, yes, I am God. And then he goes into all these other facts on the back of it. It's almost like his own little disclaimer, you know, his own Book of Kevin, if you will. Mm-hmm. I am God, and here's the real way everything is. Yeah. So,
but the dude's like a regular chubby white dude with a beard and a little red baseball cap on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there with a jacket, a pair of jeans, and reading a book up there. You know, nothing special whatsoever about this guy, except the red hat.
No, you didn't hear him speak until towards the end of the episode, spoiler, which I thought was kind of give him a little mysteriousness to him.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So the card says, "No, I don't take photos. No, there was no Big Bang. I didn't create unicorns. Eve came from Adam's tibia, not his rib. I asked Abraham to kill Isaac just to see if he'd do it. Evolution is real, but it might not be what you think. I won the bronze medal in the decathlon, and I had nothing to do with the Crusades, Holocaust, or genocide." So kind of just, I think, basing. It's almost like an FAQ section.
And he had a little joke in the decathlon too. It said, The hammer throw is the one you can't think of if you're trying to name all the ten events. Yeah.
Did somebody reference his name, or was it on the cartoon, Mr. Burton or whatever?
No, the Burton's later when he meets the captain of the ship.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Michael tells Matt to go tell Lori that he's sick, and he's trying to tell him to come clean to her and that maybe she'll be able to help him like she did with his dad. Now his dad had all that rage and everything, and he's found peace or whatever, so... and he's, you know, Matt is still just totally against it, doesn't want anything to do with Lori, didn't want her on the mission. And Michael says, well, we're disciples, maybe Lori was his disciple too, you know. And again, as he gives these lines and we're having these intense discussions, we see somebody just banging away.
Right.
I'm getting the total, like, modern day Sodom and Gomorrah vibe. I'm guessing that's what you were supposed to be going
Yeah, that toward. Was exactly what I was thinking too, yeah. Here's where Lori slips up when they're going back and forth, and this is when she mentions Evie. Because no one had known that Kevin called her about Evie except for her, not even Matt. But then they were going back and forth, and then she was, you know, quantifying these hallucinations that Kevin had, and she mentions that as being one of them. And then Matt's like, wait, what? Why are you even talking about Evie? And then so she has to admit to Matt, you know, what happened or what have you, which only stokes Matt's flame even more for wanting to get to Kevin and not wanting Lori around.
Yeah, he's completely obsessed with getting to Kevin and just getting him back home.
And I did like how he referenced when she asked him, don't tell Mike or John about it. And he was like, what kind of person do you think I am?
Yeah.
Like, as if him being able to tell him was the worst thing that could have been done at that point. So I thought that was cool as well.
I thought it was him kind of admitting, like, yes, I know I'm acting a little nuts here and eccentric, but I still am a reverend. I still am, a peaceful man.
Yeah, but then also he's like, okay, I'll see you later. I just need a moment by myself as I throw up off the boat.
Yeah.
So, his sickness obviously is kind of developing a little bit there. And then as he's doing that, he sees somebody get thrown off the boat.
Get thrown off, like chucked.
Yeah. It looked like a scene out of Avengers or something.
Yeah.
So he looks up and he sees this god that he had talked to earlier or seen earlier, and that's who threw the guy off the boat. And he's freaking out, trying to get help. Everyone's just banging and not paying attention. And he jumps in to save this guy on his own. Mm-hmm. And they have to fish him out. He doesn't find the guy, but they fish him out. And this is when we meet with the captain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, what's the deal with this guy? Oh, David Burton? Yeah, he's a celebrity. He was an Olympic broadcaster. He won, he was in the Olympics years ago, all that. And he's like, well, so when did he become God? After he died. He fell and broke his neck in a rock climbing accident. They put him in a cave to protect him, so the dingoes didn't eat him or something?
Dingo didn't eat your baby.
Yeah. And then, days later, they went back for him and he was fine.
Yeah, he was sitting outside, not a scratch on him.
Yeah.
Now he's God. And then this was after Matt gets all this information and he's really trying to find this guy and find out what happened to the guy that went off the boat and talk to this god guy. He goes in and he meets with this member of the pride again, and he's like, I need to see your manifest, find out who this guy was. And she's like, we don't care, like, whatever. And he's like, all you care about is sex and Frasier. And they're like, you spoke his name.
You said the word. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
After midnight, turning into a gremlin now.
Yep.
Which to me was what went on after this was even weirder than the opening.
Yes.
Right? Like it's not weird enough that you had a naked dude running down the hall and then using his foot to launch a nuclear missile. Now we go and they strap Matt into a chair and basically try and jack him off for his seed. Like, they had, like, this weird cup. And,
they had, like a Thanksgiving cornucopia thing.
How exactly is he becoming Frasier by kind of jacking off into a... It's the paper mache lion.
Yeah, it's like the cone of shame.
They're putting the comacopia.
All right, thanks, guys. That's our show. We're done for the evening.
Yeah, so totally strange scene. And he gets up and kind of forces him off of him and staves off the gang rape, if you will. And then he sees the god guy that he's looking for, and he goes outside and he's like, I need to talk to you. And the guy just belts him and knocks him out, basically. Yeah. And some other random woman comes over and is like, oh, are you okay? By the way, stay on the boat when we get to the dock. We have a plan. Just stay on the boat. Like, okay, who the hell are you? And why are you just randomly talking to this guy?
She was the only attractive looking woman on the boat.
Yeah, a lot of the other...
And she was fully clothed.
It might be why, yeah.
Those two that offered the four-way to John and Lori were pretty hit up.
And elderly.
Well, yes. How about the one that was dancing for Matt in order to get him into the from the lion? That was...
She was well-fed.
Not all that attractive. Yes.
Yeah, how does that even work? I mean, come on, give him something good. You expect the guy to perform in front of a room... I mean, jeez.
We just lost all of our fat female listeners.
Sorry, all two of you.
Well, I don't know. We've kind of ostracized a lot of people. We've had a priest joke, and we've said come, and we've had gang rape all in the same episode. So,
yep.
It's slow motion penis swapping to start things off.
Exactly.
But see, we didn't create the show. We're just talking
stating the facts. This is
That's right. We're hitting all demographics today.
Damn you, Lindelof and Parada. You guys made this, not us. All right, so anyways, then Matt tries to recruit John and Michael. Like, hey, I need your help. We got to get this god guy to confess, And they're like, nah, we're not doing that. And he's like, Kevin saw Evie. Like, everyone blurts out their secrets whenever they can't get what they want on the show. John's like, oh, okay. Like, I get why she didn't tell me.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell me either.
Yeah. Wasn't really a big deal. Matt didn't win over like he thought he was going to. So he's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go rest in the infirmary. Yeah, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Let me go get a wheelchair and an axe.
All very sane.
Yeah, who comes up with these plans? Again, he's just like super obsessed with getting things his way, you know? So then he goes, I thought he was going to kill the guy, honestly. Did you guys think that?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% thought it was coming across the axe across the head and coming down with it.
Luckily, he just hits him over the head, wants to have a chat with him, apparently. So he puts him in the wheelchair, ties him down.
Well, two chicks are hooking up, watching.
Yeah. Throws his book off the boat, whatever. So then once God comes to, or David Burton, whatever, which, I don't know, did either of you watch The Night Of on HBO?
No.
I did.
I love The Night Of. Did you catch that was Detective Box or whatever?
I did not catch that was him.
Yeah, that was him.
Now, David Burton. Yeah, I'll have to go back and look at it, but yeah, I didn't catch it from him.
He's great. You don't really see him in much, but he was great in this and in Night Of. So if you haven't watched Night Of, go check it out. But anyways, back to the story at hand. So David Burton comes back too, and Matt, he asks Matt for his book, and he's like, oh, it was just getting good. And Matt's getting riled up. He's like, I want answers from you. And the lion's getting riled up too, because they're talking right by the cage. And he's like, you need to tell me that you threw that guy overboard. He's like, yeah, I did. Okay. And he's like, that's it? Like, you did it? Well, again, you admit to the police? And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Like, the dude's just totally, finally talking, but just totally being an asshole to him, which is great. And what he's like, no, Jesus wasn't my son. He starts, like, listing off all these other things that are...
Yeah, he said Jesus had an identical twin brother. Jesus actually rotted in the cave. It was just his twin that everybody saw and freaked out about.
Which I love, because Matt was like, you're denying paternity? Like, just the way he said it was really funny.
But he said, well, it's Mary's word versus mine.
Yep.
So that was his best line.
But then he's like, yeah, that sudden departure. He's like listing off all these things. And God's like, nope, I didn't do that. I did that. But oh, yeah, I did that. Sudden departure, that was me.
Yeah,
I just did that because I could. Like, that's it. No other explanation necessary. And kind of pissing off Matt because he really wants answers. He kind of goes back and forth between, should I really be believing this guy, or, to like actually being all in. Like, this is God I'm talking to, you know?
Yeah, and he has an answer because Matt's rattling off just, you know, Bible story versus Bible story, like one by one by one. And he's just like, yep, nope. Like, he has full knowledge of everything Matt's talking about, which is getting Matt even more and more into it.
Yeah,
and I definitely think it's the tone in which he's doing it. It's all matter of fact, no emotion. He's just like, I did that because I could.
Yeah.
No one felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Matt's getting really upset, and he's like, I've done everything for you, and I've suffered, I've lost my family now, all this, and now I'm dying again, the cancer's coming back. He's like, I've done all this stuff for you, and he's like, no, you didn't. You were doing that because you thought I was watching you, and you thought I was judging you, but I wasn't. Everything you did was just for you. Which is probably pretty honest of most people in the world, if you think about it.
Yeah, I think that's a statement on society, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I think
could also see Matt's change as he's telling this. You can see Matt kind of just going through his mind, moving on this, and just like, wait a minute, maybe he's right. And like, you could just kind of see it in his face that, you know, you could kind of get that mental click right there.
Yeah, that was the key, you know, when he first said that sentence of, you know, I was doing this all for you, and calling David Burton God, essentially, you know, saying you. I mean, the music definitely hit harder at that moment, too.
That was like when we get our orchestral regular song from the show. You always get it in that heightened emotional moment. So, and then he's like, well, what, you know, you saved me when I was a boy. Why is it back now? And he's like, I can save you again. Untie me. And he kind of did a weird move where he had like a fist on one side and then the open hand on the other. And you were like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden he just does this snap. And he's like, ta-da, you're saved. Like, this dude is totally an asshole.
Yeah.
I totally thought he was just either going to knock him out again or kind of do like one of those Three Stooges type things where he's like, pop, 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 pop. Something similar to that.
That actually would have been good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then that's it for the night. Next time you see Matt is the next morning, and he finally looks at peace for the first time, just kind of chilling and staring off. And I think he's made his, you know, his peace with his whole pursuit of Kevin and this god guy that he was talking to. And because then you see the captain of the ship comes up. He's like, hey, a fishing boat found that body. It matched the description. So the police are going to come arrest, you know, David Burton. They're going to need you for a statement. Do you have anything, you know, pressing when you get to Melbourne? And he's like, nope, I'm good. I'll go give him a statement. No problem.
Right.
So he's totally, like, given up on the whole Kevin pursuit and almost given up on, I guess, religion and God is the way I saw it. I don't know.
Yeah, he definitely, like I said, he had that mental shift, and you could tell, like, his main goal was to get Kevin out, and, like, he was so fervent about doing this. And then that morning, he was like, everything was gone, there was nothing to worry about, and, you know, just a very nonchalant look on life, which is very uncharacteristic for Matt, and was really weird to see on him.
Yeah, and he actually tells the truth finally, too, because Lori's like, are you okay? And he's like, well, actually, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Like, just totally at peace with everything. I think he just knows his time is short. He's not going to stress over the Kevin thing, and that's it.
I was just trying to think of, like, what he was thinking while this happening. I wonder if it's just a total revelation, if you will, that he's just realizing this guy convinced almost everyone that he is God and all these people. And if this guy can do it so easily without saying words to people, you know, what is the whole belief system? You know, and where are these people's beliefs? And maybe what he believes is just completely off base. Maybe that's what finally gave him his peace as well.
Yeah, so then we see the ship docking in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And all the sex freaks are getting off. And you see the police. And they're looking for David Burton. He's kind of in the crowd. And then we see the lady from the night before that said, hey, stay on the boat. And they release Fraser. They release the lion. And he goes and immediately attacks Burton only. Like, out of all those people, he goes for Burton. Burton tries to escape, I guess, from the police, but he goes after him and attacks him.
Well, he is a slow, fat white guy, so go out for the easy kill instead of running after the skinnier, faster people.
We hear a couple gunshots there, and I'm guessing that's the police putting the lion down. Yeah. And then Matt turns to the camera and has another great phrase of the show here. That's the guy I was telling you about. That's all he says. Is he talking about God? I mean, you know, what are we talking about here with that line?
Right.
It seems like something you can interpret multiple ways. So.
And fade to black.
Yep.
Which is, this show is great for right now, is that they give you something on the end, and then they're going to immediately follow up with it in the next episode to give you kind of a snippet. So hopefully in the next episode, we kind of see who he was talking about, what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. As well.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was crazy again. I mean, I know, Brian, you said you felt like it was a little bit of a filler that we didn't get necessarily a ton of moving the story forward, but it was definitely a nuts episode.
Yeah, it's funny, as we re-say it all, I'm feeling a little less fillerish, but you know, with this show, you don't know. Like, everything that happened in this could just come right back around next week and make more sense, so it's hard to call it one.
The thing about it with the 8 episodes is that you've got to get all these different perspectives in, and I'm liking how each episode kind of has its own kind of perspective and own kind of, like, feel to it. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be the same flow. You're going to get these back and forth. If you would have told me that this season would have had an episode like this, I would have thought you were bat crazy.
Sure.
Yeah. I wonder if it's kind of like they know they're going out, so they're like, let's just throw in every crazy thing we can think of, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that whole lion bit, they were probably like, oh, you remember when we were kids and that lion movie was out? Like, let's make a religious cult based on that lion, like, and throw it in our show. Like, you know, just whatever you can think of. Or, hey, we used to love Perfect Strangers. Let's throw that song in there. Let's see if that guy is available to be on the show.
Well,
I'd love to be in the writer's room on some of this stuff.
I saw the same casting agent for Walking Dead also does this, and he knows the lion. So it's good to see the lion book work on multiple shows.
There you go. Shiva is Fraser.
Yeah, exactly.
Hashtag.
It's the same actor, yeah.
Really, what I like most about the season is that you're seeing so many different people's perspective on how they would respond to the end of the world. You know what I mean? The different people freaking out in different ways, or different people trying to save the world in different ways. And it's very interesting, and it's become more of a global show this season than just that little microcosm of Miracle or, you know, Mapleton, where the last two seasons were very narrow focused. This is much more broad, and we're seeing I don't know. It's cooler to me that way, I think. Now we finally have everybody in one place, too. All our main characters are going to be in Australia, so three more episodes. We got to wrap all this stuff up. So.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the title of our next episode?
Certified.
Do we have that?
Yep.
Certified.
Yep, certified. The tag is Lori, a former therapist, must become one again as she heads to Australia to help Nora and Kevin along their paths. So, looks like they're going to meet up.
So, are we going to get a Lori-heavy episode this time around?
Possibly. I will say, I'm looking at the casting list, and this never can mean anything, but Liv Tyler is listed for this episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe some flashbacks?
Yeah, either that or...
in the Remnant?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll finally get some more Revenant and bring them back.
Well, did you watch the tease for this week's episode?
I did not. I've actually been purposefully not watching them.
Yeah, I have too. I kind of wanted to just go into the new episodes without really knowing what the basis was going to be and kind of letting it all unfold.
Okay. I will leave it alone then, because I did watch it this time. I usually don't, but I did. But I'll leave it alone. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but overall, great episode, and three more to go. Can't wait to resolve everything.
Very bittersweet. I'm getting sad about it because I'm loving the season, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's hitting like such a creative crescendo, if you will, and it's they're really hitting it well this season. And then it makes you not want to lose it, you know?
Yeah. So. Leave them wanting more.
And that's kind of what those Catch-22s, are they hitting it because they know it's the last season, so they're, like you said, they're putting everything into it? Yeah. Or are they hitting it because we know it's the last and we're just eating everything up because we know? So,
but that's one of the good things about these, like the pay networks, like HBO and stuff. They put the end date on the show. You don't wait till season 20 and then cancel it when the ratings are bad. Like, you actually give somebody a creative schedule to follow, and this is when you need to end it. You know, that way the shows aren't left in limbo.
Yeah, so. And they're typically a 3 to 4. I know the Game of Thrones is a little different, but their seasons are typically 3 to 4 seasons, and they'll let you know ahead of time that we've got so much other stuff coming out to follow. So
they're eating everything up, just like Frasier did of Bill Camp, David Burton. Sorry, the actor is Bill Camp.
Yes, you're right, Bill Camp. That's his name. I totally forgot. Thank you.
Sorry, but ate David Burton. I messed up my own joke by saying the actor's name. Anywho.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, we're looking forward to being back with you next week to talk more leftovers. Hit us up on Twitter if you have any theories or questions, things you want us to talk about on the show. Take Two Podcast at Twitter.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. See you. Thanks for listening.